Traveling the Vortex.
We've joined the Doctor as he travels the Vortex and landed episode number 88. And there's an ood on the loo. I'm Keith.
Ood on the loo.
I'm Sean.
Ood on the loo.
I'm Glenn.
How are you guys?
Good. Very good. How about you guys?
Good.
Good.
Sean. Sean didn't sound so good.
I'm good. I'm,
Tired?
Tired.
Mm-hmm.
Long week.
Long week.
A lot of schoolwork.
But we get some payoff. We get some payoff for our 2 days. No, we're going to get for our last 2 days. And all of those days we worked on Fridays all day long. We're getting a payoff on Monday.
There's that.
Our show's debuting.
Our show debuts Monday. So if you're listening to this and you get RFD TV, look us up.
6 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
We can say it now, can't we?
We can say the name.
Yes.
Pimp it.
Yeah. Tough grit. Yeah, our contracts have really loosened up. as soon as the powers of B started posting all the stuff on Facebook, I was like, all right, I think I can start telling people.
I think maybe I can unclassify that photo album.
Right.
I haven't done that yet. Yes, tough grit.
I don't think you can still show photos of ones we haven't aired yet. We have to be careful on that.
All of them have been ones we haven't aired yet.
As soon as it airs tomorrow, you can unload that one.
I guess we can kind of give this.
Yeah, we can give this real brief. Well, yeah, because you can go on your DVR now and look at what it's about.
I kind of describe it as think this old house on a farm.
Meet Survivor.
Well,
or at least the challenge part.
It's a game show.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a game show. But we have contestants, and they
it's
come
a
in.
Reality competition.
A reality. I hate the word reality, but okay.
It's what it is.
It's a reality competition show.
You now work on a reality show. You now work on the thing you absolutely hate.
I've worked on two.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't feel any better about that either. The amount of faking that went on in that reality was. Anyway, it's a reality competition show. We have two contestants. We have two experts that they're paired up with. And, let's say that today's challenge is build a fence. So then we have to go and they show them the proper way to do it and where to dig the hole and how to dig the hole and what equipment you should use to dig the hole. And then they time who can dig a better, faster hole.
That's right.
And it's a very entertaining show and it's a lot of fun. And even I, who, you know, we joke that I'm the technological Neanderthal, but I'm also not mechanically inclined either. and I am not the guy you want. I hold tools. That's the extent. If you're involved in any kind of building project and you want my help, I will gladly come over and hold the screwdriver and the hammer and wait for you to ask me for something. But it better be screwdriver or hammer, because if you say I need a 6/18 socket something, I don't know what that is unless you handed it to me earlier.
Ooh. Oh, no, that's the prequel. All right.
So,
sorry.
But then they have the competition.
I thought I did get the, sorry. Go ahead.
And they have the competition, and you can win up to $1,000. And we should probably put the link to the website in our show notes.
Yeah, sure.
And apparently it's going to be posted online, maybe, after it airs?
And RDF TV is airing it, and that's my understanding, is that they're airing it Monday nights. It's 7 Eastern, 8 Central?
It'd be
right?
7 and, no, it'd be 5 Eastern, 6 Central.
6 Central?
Aren't you going to the party tomorrow night?
Well, yeah, but it runs till 8.
I thought it starts at 6 p.m.
Oh. We'll look up the time. And,
oh, it's 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time.
I don't think that's what they've been advertising. I think it's 7 Eastern.
Believe me, it's 6 o'clock.
I trust you. You're a producer. You're higher up the chain than I am. But I'm just telling you, that's not what I thought I saw online.
Trust me, that's what it is.
But I thought I saw September 1st online on BBC America for the premiere Doctor Who.
That's true.
Wait, I was right. Yes, I'm still touting that. But we'll put the link up there. And if you think you've got what it takes to come compete on this show, fill out the form and they'll bring you out and you can meet us in person. But yeah, my understanding is that they will have the episodes on the Tough Grit website after they've aired on RDF TV. That you'll be able to peruse them that way. So,
okay,
I believe. Maybe. Yeah,
well, you didn't think that the show was on at 6 either, so.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to look it up.
6 p.m. Monday.
Yep. Well, believe me, I know. I saw all the pictures of people taking pictures of their DVRs and DirecTV our DirecTV guides and Cox cable guides. And
well, if we're 6 o'clock, we're not even prime time.
No, this is five central or a 5 Eastern. We're not quite ready for prime time.
Not quite ready for prime time. This says Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did say that backwards.
Oh, yeah.
It is 7 Eastern. 6
so you are prime time.
You're right, prime time.
Okay.
I was getting the
Yes. Well, because I don't know what Central Daylight is. I was backing it up an hour and you were reversing it. That's what the problem was. Okay. It's still my fault.
It is 7 p.m. Eastern.
7 p.m. Eastern, yeah. 6 Central, with an encore presentation Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So if you miss it Monday, you can see it Tuesday morning. Apparently online, according to Sean.
And apparently online at some point. I'm not sure when. But
well, we're going to keep this kind of on a tight leash this week because I have to be at work at midnight and it's 10 o'clock.
Keith's going, bored.
I need to head towards work at midnight.
Yeah, because, you know.
Well, what'd you guys do this week? We'll get through that real quick.
We didn't do much. Kind of set up the apartment. You might have noticed that our honeymoon audio is not up yet.
It's not?
No.
Why not?
Weekend got away from us.
Oh. I don't feel so bad for not giving you that file either that I needed you to attach to the front of it.
Oh, yeah. So there's that, too. But
I thought you were going to blame me. Well, I didn't have a file.
No, I just would have done it without it and called it good.
That's what I hoped you would have done.
No, the weekend just got away from us. We didn't even get as much done on the apartment that I wanted to. But that's okay, because I have all my evenings next week, assuming I get up at a decent time from working overnights and getting off at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Sorry.
Not your fault.
It is.
Well, partially. You're not the one taking off so that I have to cover. You're just the one that said, I can't do it when they asked you to do it instead. Sean, what about you?
I've also had a busy week. Obviously, we went back into the swing of things. We came off hiatus from shooting and started the last batch of shooting for the season.
Yep.
Fortunately, it was the last twofer this week.
Oh, thank goodness, because that was rough.
Those were really rough. Thursday was really rough. We were rusty. I mean,
we just seemed a little out of sync.
We were a little out of sync. That's a good way of putting it. But Friday was much better. But so did that. A lot of school stuff and a lot of homework and a lot of French piling up because I've been avoiding it to do other things.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. What'd you do, Glenn?
Also the Tough Grit shoot for 2 days. And then yesterday we went to Hutchison, had a little Labor Day weekend get together with my dad's family, and drafted our fantasy football teams for family does a fantasy football every year, so I do a team. And
I didn't think you were that into football.
NFL, that's about it. It's about the extent of my sports and sports knowledge.
More than I have.
All right, let's move on to news. Is there anything going on?
Doctor Who's just back.
Doctor Who is on.
Why are we doing this? I want to go watch Doctor Who.
That's about it. The Triumphant Return of Who. Pond Life, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit about the prequel. Not much, but there was apparently a prequel.
Which a lot of people weren't aware of unless you're iTunes or Amazon season subscribers. You wouldn't have got it. So, all right, well, let's move on to feedback.
Feedback. We've got some feedback. And I'm not going to do the snaps today because I hurt my fingers on the show when I was holding things.
Not even any jazz hands. A little bit of jazz hands. Right.
Our first bit of feedback is audio, and it comes from Dr. Phil.
Well, let's give it a listen.
Hey, guys, it's Dr. Phil here, and I'm on the road, my usual place in the wandering the Midwest, or traveling the vortex in the Midwest, through the remnants of Hurricane Isaac. One of our concerts in Springfield, Illinois, got rained out this weekend. Which, of course, is very fun, like Olympic John Williams Olympic Fanfare and such. So lots of John Williams this summer, which is kind of nice. So all the music that I loved as a kid. So anyway, just wanting to send in some feedback and really, really sorry for the craziness that Keith and his mom endured on the wedding day, and I found myself getting visibly upset, like, as I was listening to it, you know, and then I realized, wait, I'm just sitting here in a restaurant listening to a podcast. People are probably wondering what's wrong with me, but I'm glad everything went really well, and can't wait to hear more of the details, and keep up the great work, guys. And on a little couple things on Asylum of the Daleks, and a couple of funny little niggles. One is the particular chorus from Carmen that she keeps playing in transmitting to the Dalek ship doesn't have a triangle part, which, you know, more cowbell, which is the reason why I probably said triangle. I'm joking, but no, I really enjoyed Asylum of the Daleks. I thought that the relationship stuff with Amy and Rory finally has gone somewhere particularly interesting, that they finally have all their cards on the table about how they feel about each other, you know. Even though I think they've kind of explored that plenty, but I think that was a really great, some great moments between them, especially as, you know, Amy had said that you can't fix our things the way you fix your bow tie, and he totally did, which is amazing. And the twists in it were fabulous. Unfortunately, the gimmicks of every Dalek ever was just totally a gimmick, because, and that all of the intensive care Daleks were the ones who met the doctor. They should have been the classic series ones, especially the ones from Kimball and Spyridon and Vulcan, because they ended up being new series Daleks. So there's a small niggle. Does not ruin the enjoyment of a very nice episode. I thought the climax as he ran back to the ponds and things exploding, very cinematic. And I thought that Series 6 had some moments of being much more cinematic than Series 5. This one already seems light years beyond production value wise and kind of scope of the last season. So we'll see where things go. I'm not sure how I feel about the pond life extras. And there was actually another little prequel that I just saw online today that was only available to iTunes American subscribers. That was the message that the doctor got from the person at the beginning of the story, which was the trap. So I thought that was a bit interesting. Take a look around for that, and keep up the great work, and can't wait to hear what you guys think of Asylum of the Daleks.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Phil.
We appreciate it.
I suppose at this stage in the game, we probably should throw out the spoiler warning. Obviously,
yeah.
We've said that before, that the moment it airs.
Keeper of the feedback
didn't
let us know what was going to be in that audio.
I didn't get a chance to listen to it beforehand also, because it came a lot of feedback in the last minute.
So we apologize if Dr. Phil has ruined it for anybody. Not ruined, but, you know, maybe let some things. So I don't think it's, if you haven't seen it, there's Daleks in it. I don't think I don't think that's spoiling anything.
He really didn't spoil the big surprise of this story.
No, well, we could have easily. So we're going to go ahead and throw that out there now. We will be reviewing these episodes pretty much as they air. I mean, you know, we're on top of it.
Day and date.
Since we've got a day and date, we record Sundays, they air Saturdays, we'll be all over them, and they will be in there. So if you have not had a chance to watch it yet, do not listen to parts of this podcast.
That's right. That being said, our next bit of feedback.
We're not going to comment on anything else Phil said. We're just going to throw the spoiler warning and slap him down on
that. We're trying to move along so we can get to work.
We're trying to keep up the pace.
I don't have to go to work tonight. I don't care.
You're the one that takes up all the time. Come on.
All right. I'll let it slide. Go ahead.
Did you have any other comments?
No, I'm curious now if you're going to comment. Slide.
Well, you can't comment anything he talked about in the episode, so what else?
I like John Williams.
Moving on.
First up, Holly. Or next up, sorry. Holly. Hey, guys. First off, Keith, I hope your mom is doing a lot better, continuing to send good thoughts your way. Thank you, Holly.
And Phil did point out that as well.
Yes, and she is feeling better. She's full week back at work already, so... she's going to a surgeon next week or tomorrow. I can't remember which. And, yep, just changing her diet, figuring out what she can and can't eat. But so, yes, she's doing a lot better. Holly continues on to the feedback. Day of the Daleks was a good episode. We get the Brig and also Mike Yates. This is the first time I've seen Mike Yates' character. I've listened to a few Tom Baker audios where his character has been featured. Hornet's Nest, Demon's Quest, and Serpent's Crest.
Wow. I didn't realize that's when those were set, but apparently.
Wow.
They like Est a lot.
Yeah.
And animals. All are very good audios. We get to the return of the Ogrons, which I think ties back to Frontier in Space, or is that back? That's backwards.
That's backwards, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is the introduction actually, of the Ogrons.
Yeah, Frontier in Space actually happened after Day of the Daleks.
So, Holly, you're seeing this the way I see things. I'm also wondering...
Welcome to the club!
I'm also wondering if those soldiers who went back in time to kill Stiles are part of the same group from Planet of the Daleks. Joe, in my opinion, was just a little too trusting of the controller after she got transported to where he was. My favorite scene in this would have to be when the Doctor commandeers the Briggs Jeep, and the Brig just stands there knowing there's really not a whole lot he can do. The Doctor is a man on a mission. Holly, I don't think that is the same group from Planet of the Daleks.
No, because those were the Daleks. These are humans.
Yeah. Although I did think they were going that way with Asylum, but all right. I digress. Asylum of the Daleks. Wow, what an episode. The Doctor is returning to Skaro, and he's none too happy to be there. Was rather surprised when the woman turned out to be a Dalek in disguise.
What? Wait, what? Sorry, go ahead.
We need to come up with a name. Dalek in disguise.
I'll allow it.
And I'm not a Transformers fan.
I'm not either. I'll allow it. That was a good one.
Amy and Rory splitting up? Say it ain't so. When all of them got captured and were taken to the Dalek Parliament, the Doctor's comment about the trouble being 11 out of 10, I giggled. Seeing all those Daleks in the Parliament was quite a sight to see. I was really shaking my head in disbelief when they all started asking to be saved. I loved Amy's running commentary to Rory about the Doctor as he was walking around the Parliament scoping things out. Loved the new opening title sequence. The Doctor can still be a little oblivious to things after he mentions that the nanosphere can create Daleks out of living or dead people that aren't protected. Just like in Rose, when he's trying to find out where the Auton's hidden base is. I was really getting nervous for Rory as he started walking around down in the pit area with all those supposedly dead Daleks. I was even yelling at the TV for him not to touch the Dalek like he did, remembering what happened when Rose did.
So were we.
Yeah. And I give Rory's defense, saying this is really, he hasn't had much exposure to
doesn't
the Daleks.
Matter. Yeah. I've watched enough scary movies to know there are certain things that you just don't do. One of them is walk up and touch the sleeping creature.
You'd think
yeah,
that
not going to do
just
it.
The time with the Doctor would teach him that.
Yeah,
but
that's why we love Rory, because he just kind of, I think I'll do this anyway.
The eggs that built to be exterminate line had me chuckling. After Amy loses her wristband to protect her from the nanosphere, we finally find out why she and Rory are split. Man, I really feel for the both of them, and now that it's out in the open, they're fighting to stay together. The end scene with Oswin was heartbreaking. I really liked her, but I kind of got a sinking feeling that she might be one of the Daleks in disguise. I was really surprised to find out she was completely turned.
What? What?
Spoilers!
Oh, no.
So, very glad that she was able to fight the Daleks programming and even erasing the Doctor's name from their collective memory. That was a very interesting scene when the Doctor returns to the Dalek Parliament and is happy to find out that Oswin's work has also carried over to the Daleks there as well. Though I'm just a little nervous with the Doctor chanting Doctor Who, the supposed question in plain sight. Gonna wrap this up here. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this episode, which I know I'll be going back to watch again. Holly from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Holly.
Next up, Odd Duck Phil.
All right, Odd Duck Phil says comment question comment eggs. Hey, Hoopekin, sorry it's been a while, unless you count the phone message, which I personally don't, but, oh well, water under the bridge, or perhaps delicious jello pudding under the bridge. Number one, Keith and Sarah, big congrats to you.
Thank you.
The bride looked absolutely radiant in the pictures I saw, and the groom looked strangely like a non-Matt Smith doctor. I don't know.
I did cut my hair.
I don't know. With the tux and the shoes and the height and the build, Keith, you could pull off 10 without a problem. Sorry for the difficulties that did crop up, but I think deep down every wedding needs some stress and bad luck to prepare you. Yeah, he had the same.
Yeah.
same situation.
Coming from a recently married man having the troubles,
Into each life, a little rain must fall, and even the most perfect relationships will have to weather a storm or two. Granted, most of those storms are metaphorical, but I'm not going down that standing water soap streak again. Number two, pond life. For a full 2 minutes, I really wanted an ood for a butler. But given my whole rights of man outlook, I'd end up feeling very guilty and eventually angry that the ood are so willing to serve.
Just eat your breakfast.
Can you order a subservient species to revolt? And is there enough material for an ood archive? I know they're not adversaries, but they're easily my favorite new Doctor Who aliens and such an extraordinary and have with such an extraordinary background. You know, we do what we call companion archives. We could have a gray area archive, I suppose. Somewhere in between.
If it gives me the opportunity to say Ood on the Loo again, I'm in favor of it.
So. The only downside is we've already reviewed all the Ood stories.
That's true. We so far have. But we could go back and
we could do
an Ood podcast where we just talk about the Ood stories again.
The Ood cast.
Yeah.
The Ood sphere.
Wait, there's already
an Ood cast. Is there an Ood cast?
There is an Ood cast.
All right. Number three, Asylum of the Daleks. Wow. Nice opener for series one, I thought.
Seven.
What'd I say?
One.
Nice opener for series seven, I thought. Yeah, well. But why do the Daleks need so many leader titles? Supreme Dalek, Emperor Dalek, Prime Minister Dalek, Bridge Club Dalek. Does every Dalek want to feel important and just give themselves a title?
It comes with a pay raise.
Great episode from start to finish, though I could have seen more of the Dalek fleet personally. If it wasn't for the little hacking twist at the end, you could easily have done this episode with the only Dalek being those on the planet's surface. Probably a time issue, and while I tease about the Dalek titles, hats off to the Prime Minister for the wonderful little quip. Doctor, you think hatred is beautiful? It's good. I could do that in a Dalek voice. Oh. I'm sorry.
And then the Prime Minister. No, that's the Doctor saying
it. Oh, I did
it.
This wrong. Okay, I got you. The Doctor says, you think that hatred is beautiful. Prime Minister says, perhaps that is why we've never been able to kill you. That's right. I forgot about that. All right.
How could you forget about that? That's like the best line.
That's a really good line. All right, probably running a bit long, so I'll sign off here. I'm hoping I can keep seven step ahead. Oh, it's one, sorry. One step ahead of the podcast.
Three, sir.
And watching the new episodes, or I may have to drop back a week to avoid spoilers. Odd Duck Phil. P.S., a shout-out to something Glenn said a few podcasts back about Mark Hamill as the Joker. He is easily my favorite voice actor for the role, and 7 out of 10 days, he's my favorite Joker performer, period. He injected such myth, menace, and madness, and menace and madness, and could bounce between all three with such ease. And that laugh. No, there's no reason. I hear Mark Hamill. No, there's a reason I hear Hamill's Joker whenever I read comics. If you haven't seen them, Mask of the Phantasm, both Arkham games, and a certain flashback scene in Batman and Beyond, Return of the Joker, really cement Hamill in my eyes. Or ears, as the case may be. And then he's got a
Dick
YouTube.
Grayson, Nightwing.
Oh, he's got a 9-minute clip on
well,
here.
Okay.
I love you, Phil, but we're not going to play that one on air. We'll include the link.
PPS eggs. Eggs. Termin 8.
That was the best.
Sorry, I mucked your feedback up.
And we got a last late-minute bit of feedback.
Last-minute feedback.
Beating the buzzer.
Which
barely.
I didn't get.
I didn't either.
What did that come into?
I don't know. Sean's the one that called it out.
I think Mitch still sends... Michelle sends it to
Let me switch to
that. It was sent to travelingvortex@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Oh, look. You now have access to that?
Apparently.
That's our old address.
That's not our...
That's our old address.
Oh, that's where I told her to send stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, it needs to come to... Well, it doesn't matter. We get it there, but...
Well,
it's...
we just got to make sure we check
right,
that email.
Because we have missed stuff there, but no, it's feedback@travelingvortex.com is our feedback email, Sean.
For about
a year and a half now.
So the reason why you got it, she also sent it directly to you, your email, and the Traveling the Vortex email. @gmail.
So, for example, if somebody were to go to a convention and get a bumper, they would send it to feedback at travelingthevortex.com. Not travelingthevortex.com.
At travelingthevortex@gmail.
Or travelingthevortex@gmail.
Yeah.
Sean, stop talking.
Right.
You're going to confuse the listeners.
Okay.
We still have a Gmail account.
Should we go through our contact information?
No. Just let's go with Michelle's.
Michelle writes, "Hey guys, here are my reviews. For Day of the Daleks, this one I had already seen two or three times before Friday Night Who because I wanted to see how it fit in with the first Doctor story, The Dalek Invasion of Earth. And I think I've figured it out. Day of the Daleks is an alternate timeline. What would have happened if the delegates at the peace conference had been killed? So the Daleks invading Earth in the 22nd century was going to happen anyway. It was just a case of different means to the same end. In the Day of the Daleks, a century-long world war nearly destroys the human race. In Dalek Invasion of Earth, it's a virus released by the Dalek mid-22nd century. In both cases, the Daleks come in to enslave the survivors." I hadn't thought of that, but she's totally right. What are you shaking your head for?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm agreeing. All right. She's right.
Just checking. For Asylum of the Daleks, I actually watched this one twice on Saturday. Once on a live stream of the BBC One broadcast on my phone. Once on Space...
Well, somebody's got iPlayer.
Yeah. Once on Space Channel with my boyfriend. The first time, I missed some of the bits because of some problems with the live stream, but I got all the main plot points. I'm still processing exactly how I feel about it. But my initial thoughts boil down to amazing episode. JLC! How are the Dalek survivors of Exilion? And marveling about how Oswin made all the Daleks forget the Doctor, and they kept saying, Doctor Who. Sent from my iPhone because I'm apparently completely unable to be productive if I go on my laptop. P.S. I'll send in my report of my time at Fan Expo Canada once I write it up. P.P.S. The subject line... Ooh, I didn't read that. It says, are we human or are we Dalek? The subject line is from a post I've been circulating... I've seen circulating Tumblr in the aftermath of Asylum of the Daleks. P.P.P.S. I sent this directly to an email address Sean gave me. Well, we don't have to talk about that.
What's it say, Sean?
An email address that Sean gave me, as well as the Traveling the Vortex Gmail, just in case.
Which is why I went to Sean's personal email and travelingthevortex@gmail.
That's okay, Michelle. We'll get it.
We may be an episode late, but I will try to make sure I double check the other email.
That used to feed into my Gmail account, but it's not anymore. I don't know what happened. So
that's weird.
Yeah.
All right.
My bad.
On to reviews.
We also have...
Wow, we're getting to the reviews in record time.
Chrissy, who did not have the opportunity to send her feedback in due to apparently moving, having the flu, and other issues. But we will make sure that we post her blog address in our show notes because she has a very nice review of Asylum of the Daleks up on her blog. CJ's notebook. So, Chrissy, wanted to give you a shout out there, and we'll have that up for people who are interested since she didn't get to send it in.
Absolutely.
Now we get to the reviews.
Day of the Daleks. On Earth in the 22nd century, Daleks have enslaved the planet, and humans live in fear of their masters. Meanwhile, back in the 20th century, a peace conference is urgently needed to prevent World War III. When reports reach UNIT of a ghost at the Alderley House, the site for the conference, the Doctor and Joe decide to investigate. Danger is waiting for them there, including a trip 200 years in the future without a TARDIS.
Dun, dun, dun!
Good, Sean. I'm glad you liked this.
I liked this.
This is one of my favorite Dalek stories.
I can see why.
Yeah, it's a very enjoyable story.
It is. Even though I keep remembering the name wrong, but...
This would probably rank up there pretty high with me for classic Who Dalek stories. And I've gone on record of how big of a fan I'm not of the Daleks. And this one's solid, I think. Just as solid as Genesis, in my mind. Sean, you really liked this one, so why don't you go on?
I really liked this one. This was one of those that I had never seen all the way through. And... I obviously knew of it, had seen bits and pieces of it, but never enough to really cement a formulated plan. Now, I've read the reviews of it in Doctor Who magazine and whatnot, so of course I knew what was happening for the most part, but I thought it was one of those that was a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable story. I thought it was well written. Once again, Pertwee and Katie Manning are just on the top of their forms as the Doctor and Joe. It's a unit story, which most of the Third Doctors are, but it's been a while since we've done one.
And this is a post-traveling the TARDIS unit story, yeah?
Well, because he'd gotten that one jaunt off-world and then kind of been re-stranded again.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, at this point, that's his comment at the beginning about, I'm nobody's errand boy or something, because he's still actively trying to get
off. And I thought Joe said something about a planet.
Yeah, well, they did. The Time Lord sent them on X mission to planet Y for reason Z.
But was that for the Three Doctors?
I don't think it was for the Three Doctors. What's the number on this one, Glenn?
The
Three Doctors is 60. Okay, Three Doctors 65, so apparently they went somewhere.
Oh, so apparently they got to leave before that.
Yeah. But,
And that was kind of bizarre, seeing the console out of the TARDIS, sitting up in that little foyer, and that nice little...
Colony in space. They were sent, I believe, on a mission for that. The Time Lords sent him on a mission for that. Claus was earthbound. Mind of Evil was earthbound.
This before Peladon?
It would have been Colony in Space would have been the one that he was able to leave Earth for in the TARDIS. But again, Peladon comes next.
Oh, next.
Yeah,
okay.
Our first Peladon story follows this one.
Because Peladon's the first test flight where he thinks maybe he's got it to
correct.
Work.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Correct.
So he's been working on it here, and then he leaves to Peladon.
And then I thought it was pretty bold to have the scene in the beginning with the Doctor and Joe showing up.
I thought that was really cool. Unfortunately, that's the one part that now doesn't work, because they never went back to address when...
I assumed that because they skewed the timeline by preventing the delegates from being destroyed, that prevented them showing back up again. Like, if it would have gone full circle if the delegates had been destroyed in the explosion. Since it didn't, it went off skew. That's the impression. That's what I took away from it. I could be making connections in my head
I could buy that, except for the image Doctor and Joe that showed up. They really didn't seem to be all that fazed by it. So it wasn't like one of those where...
Well, that's because they remembered it.
Right, but what I'm saying is that they didn't show up and be like, oh, this is, you know... It wasn't a message from the future, oh my God, you've got to take care of this and do it right. Otherwise you're going to be stuck in this time. It was just kind of like, don't worry about it, we'll explain later.
The doctor sort of plays it off like, well, it's just a weird time anomaly type thing.
It's time, so maybe it's... The way the rest of the story ended, and that they were their own...
The paradox.
...cause of the time loop that they were stuck in, I thought was fairly genius.
I always love those kind of stories.
Yeah, I do too.
especially for the era, too.
For the era, especially.
Really bold.
And it's kind of nice for a Doctor Who story to actually deal with some time travel for once.
Pretty heavily, too.
Very heavily. So just as well as the rest of that was put together, I really kind of expected the hologram image Doctor to have played a little more into it. Mm. That there would have been, at the very least, a line of resolution at the end. They would have shown up in the workroom. And, a Bill and Ted moment. That conversation made so much more sense this time around. Mm-hmm, but
I thought they were going to, too.
Yeah.
But then that's how I just justified it in my mind.
But that's the other thing, is the end kind of, it feels almost abrupt. Is we get into the house, the Daleks get into the house, and the guy's going to blow them up, and the house blows up. Okay, so Reginald, we've been there. We know what you have to do. Yes, okay. And then credits, and it was like, wow, that was kind of it.
Yeah.
But it was nice, because we've not done a unit story in a while. So
it has been a while.
Really nice to see the brig and my other two favorites, Captain Yates and Sergeant Benton. I love Benton. I've always been a big Benton fan, and I hope he comes to Galley soon, or another convention where I get to see him, because that would be awesome, because I've always liked Benton. But all of that was really great.
I think the Dalek usage in this story was really well done.
Except for the...
Somewhat minimal, too.
I think maybe that's why I like it a bit more. It makes them the background puppeteers that make them scarier, that make you fear them more, instead of the guns blazing, I can just tip you into the water and you're going to explode, monsters.
Right.
And that's when I like the Daleks.
Yeah.
We both thought it was really weird that their initial intro was...
Oh, it was so
small. There's a Dalek, and then it was gone. It's like, now, okay, again, The episode's called Day of the Daleks. There's going to be some Daleks in the story. You can't surprise me with that. But it wasn't reserved for a cliffhanger. It wasn't the end of episode one. It was just like there was a random shot of a Dalek yelling report at a view screen. And then it went to something else. And it was like, that's it? That's right, the intro that right. we get? I mean, it's kind of... In a way, it was refreshing for a classic Who story to not have to go there.
Yeah. You know?
But that was kind of cool. I really liked... I'm kind of always the set design guy, but the sets of the futuristic Other Planet Society,
mm-hmm.
really kind of... That big green cube in the background.
Right,
I mean,
right.
just it was different. It was really, I thought, very cool looking.
Right,
it didn't.
Right.
It was one of those nifty things that they could fill a room full of stuff and not explain any of it.
Sure,
didn't have to.
Sure.
It's like,
yeah.
I mean, I like it when people do things like that at random.
Right.
And just don't try to say, oh, this is the armory. Just put stuff on the walls.
Yeah.
Or if they don't feel the need to make it necessary to the plot.
Yeah.
So there literally was, just set decoration.
There was a lot of that I really liked. There were a couple of moments that I felt a little let down by the events that were going on. And of course, now I've had my notes in my head and they've all flowed away.
There's the typical political maneuvering of
there's that
the people under the control of the Dalek and trying to please the Daleks.
What was up with the Roman centurion who was... Did anybody else get a Christopher Guest vibe off of that guy?
A little bit.
He's a very six-fingered man in... six-fingered man in Princess Bride. He was just too happy to interrogate people.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And then... now, we did watch the original...
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you think of the voices of the Dalek voices?
Oh,
that's one.
They had colds.
Yeah,
the Daleks had
really,
colds.
Really hard.
That's
to
one
get
of those in. Things that I've heard that before. That the Dalek voices in Day of the Daleks are horrible. And you had said that. You had said right before we started fighting, he was like, "You'll get used to it." And we got into it. And the first time they started really having a conversation, it was just like, "No, no, no,
just wrong.
Yeah, just what are you? Ah, really?" Okay, I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it. And episode 2, and episode 3, and episode 4. And every single time a Dalek spoke, I found myself going, and it didn't. Now, the one gold Dalek...
sounded normal.
He wasn't bad. He still had that off-pitch to him, but he had that off-pitch that they do sometimes with the one Dalek that's in command of something,
right.
where he sounds a little different than the rest of the rank-and-file guys. So he wasn't too bad, but the other ones were just... horrible. And afterwards, I went back and rewatched the end of part 3 and part of part 4 of the special edition.
With the Nicholas...
with the Nicholas Briggs Dalek voices.
Revoiced.
Oh, my.
I want to go back and rewatch the entire story with
huge
it here.
First of all, the effects are fantastic.
Yeah, the effects are done very well.
After it was so good, after I got done watching that part of the special edition, I went and watched most of the extras on how they went and put the special edition
mm-hmm.
together,
yep.
the reason they did it, how they did the effects right. sequences, why they called Nicholas Briggs in.
Right.
And he's got a great story on there about, in his own words, he says, you know, it's one of those things in fandom where everybody says, oh, the Dalek voices of Day of the Daleks suck. And they do. And I feel bad for the guys that did it.
They did their best.
They did their best. But they're just not there. So then they talked about how they had to bring Nicholas Briggs in and then have him change it a little bit so that
right.
he didn't sound too much like a new
still,
series.
It still sounded a more classic series.
Nice.
But he did a phenomenal job.
I watched that documentary myself.
And then the effects were, with the people and turning into big mm-hmm. clouds of dust. I mean, it was like, am I watching
so
Doctor Who?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just amazing.
They don't even do that in new series.
Yeah.
It
was really good. So it was very, very impressive. And this is definitely, and not that I won't own all of them at some point, but this is definitely one that's now, even though you own it, it's kind of jumped up on my list of ones that I need to go purchase.
Now you're wishing you had bought this one instead
of Greatest Show. I should have made you buy Greatest Show. But so there was a lot of good stuff in there. But yeah, the special edition was really, really well done, and just all around good stuff. And it was refreshing, I thought, to see commandos, you know, in a guerrilla situation that weren't overly bloodthirsty, stupid.
Yes, no,
yes.
Absolutely.
You know, because we get
you
so
have
many
the
of those
one,
stereotypes.
You have the one guy
yeah.
who's very, just kill him, just kill him, just kill him. But you've got the gal who's kind of the leader, and she's kind of railing everybody back. And, you know, we've got to – we want to make sure, you know, we'll check out the situation here. We aren't going to do anything yet until we find out what's going on. I really liked – I loved her character. I thought she was very, very well played.
And she was hot, too.
She was
cute. She was hot.
But it was very well played. I thought they were all very well played.
They were all very well played. You guys threw me because in the middle of Friday Night Who, I don't remember who it was – tweeted out something about, so am I to understand that these guys are from the survivors of the original invasion when the Daleks said we came back and reinvaded
Earth? Somebody tweeted
Earth.
That. I don't think it was me.
Somebody tweeted that, and then you said, yeah, that's what I'm getting out of this.
That's what I got initially until we learned more about the gorillas.
Well, and then I read that
having
tweet.
Having to come back and assassinate the... Yeah.
I read that tweet, and I went back through the tweet stream and go, what am I missing out on this conversation? What are you guys talking about? And there wasn't anything else. It was just that. So then when I went back, that's the reason I was just going to watch the last part, but instead I went ahead and backed up into episode 3 to see what did I miss out on, because you guys are going to talk about this on the podcast, and I want to make sure I know. And I found nothing that related to the other one other than that one Dalek that mentioned we've come back to reinvade Earth and, mm-hmm. you know, that we're successful this time because of this. And so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something there because it was like, did this tie in with? And so again, reading, you know,
it's funny that you mentioned that because I never went there in my mind, and I'm usually very, very stringent about my, you know, chronology matching up, and if it doesn't, then I try to make it match up. You know, I didn't think much about that other than I did remember the comment about them saying they came back to reinvade Earth. And I thought, oh, okay, so this was a second attempt. Not even really thinking back and tying in the fact that the gorillas come back to assassinate the one political guy in order to keep that future from happening. And so I thought, until you guys were just now talking about it, in fact, when Michelle?
Yes.
Who kind of fixed it a little bit, I thought, well, that actually does work for me. But I hadn't thought of that and considered it.
I'm glad somebody fixed it before. Susan.
No, it wasn't me. It was Dan.
Was it Dan?
Yeah.
Where's Susan? So then I started obsessing about it, going, yeah, how come this doesn't fit together? Why? Because it's Doctor Who. I should just know better. Also highly recommended, especially for you, but for anybody who's out there, the Unit Dating Conundrum special feature.
I haven't watched that yet. I saw it was on
there. My God.
It's narrated by, is it Toby Hadouk?
Mm-hmm. Might have been.
I think it's him who narrates it. And they kind of go through, and they go all the way back to Troughton's era with the first appearance of Unit, and then the events of this story happen here because then they say that was 40 years ago, so it's 1975. And then we see him again in the invasion. And
so they actually clear it up?
He says that was 4 years ago. So, the invasion's 1979. And then we get the Pertwee era. And they talk with the producer, and he's like, we were very vague on purpose. We didn't want to date any of these stories because, you know, it's present day. Oh, except we've got a space program, and we've got lasers and mole holes to the center of the Earth and, you know, all this other high technology stuff. So they were very, very careful not to put a date on anything. So then they go up to Pyramids of Mars, and Sarah makes the comment where she says, I'm from 1980. And everybody went, aha! Sarah's from 1980! That means her... Wait a minute. That means all of the Pertwee stuff with Unit happens in 1979. All of it. All 3 years of it is 1979. Okay, we could still make that work. So they're going along a little bit with how things work. And then they throw in Maudwin Undead. And Davison goes, I remember Brigadier. That was 1977. And people's brains melted. Because now it doesn't work again. And I was watching this documentary, and I was laughing myself silly, because I know we've talked about this thing, or some of the stories, it's either 70s or 80s, but not really, and they've made jokes about it in the David Tennant years. And so
back
to watch
in the
70s,
or was it the 80s?
I don't remember. So to watch them actively try and pin down when these stories are set play, and then there's a fantastic ending line, which I won't spoil for you, but you got to watch this documentary on this, because it is a riot to sit there and watch them try and work through this, and they don't come up with a definitive answer. It was like everything was okay until Maud went undead, and then it just not anymore. So, I can't say enough good things about this episode. I really liked it.
Yeah, this really enjoyable.
The little things I can't. Apparently, I didn't like them not enough to not remember them. So I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, it's funny because this is one of those ones that I remember from my youth. For some reason, it must have aired. And then I picked it up and watched it years later when I was revisiting Doctor Who. And it's one of those ones that even to this day, we talked about my confusion with Death of the Daleks and Day of the Daleks last week, and I made the confession that I got too confused. But even to today, I always think that Sarah Jane is in this one for some reason and not Joe Grant. And so, and maybe it's because, I don't know, Joe is very Sarah Jane, very...
Well, it's a pre-Sarah Jane.
Almost. It is a pre-Sarah Jane, but it's like she acts very... She has some very Sarah Jane moments in this. And that's the only way that I think that I can justify that I keep getting them confused on that, other than the fact that they both start with D's. But
well, we can't keep straight the R's of the Daleks. That's right. So why would the D's of the Daleks be different?
Why not the D's? Now we have an A.
Yes, finally.
Are there...
Sean's double checking.
Any other A's? Right?
I was all of a sudden looking. My mental filing cabinet flew up. Other A's. There's
power,
another D. There's Destiny.
Oh, Destiny, yeah. We have Power. Oh, yeah. We have Evil.
So three Day, three Death, D's. Destiny.
Yeah.
Resurrection, Remembrance.
Evolution.
Revelation.
Revelation. That's the one I can never remember.
Remembrance.
And Remembrance. And then...
Evolution, Victory.
Evolution, Victory, Asylum.
Asylum. That should be it.
Oh. Power.
Well, I did Power and Evil.
Evil.
Oh, so we have two E's.
Yeah.
Evolution and Evil. Those are different enough words that I think we'd be okay with.
Oh, them. Sure. The Xylophone. Sword, Day, and Death,
I'm gonna
don't defend me.
Day and Death.
I can see why you'd be confused.
I'm going to write the Xylophone of the Daleks.
See, you get an X in there.
The Zebra of the Daleks.
The Zeitgeist.
That's a good title. I got to erase that from the show so we can write that episode.
I think the
somebody's going to steal Zeitgeist of the Daleks. That's awesome.
Oh, that should be the episode title.
That's awesome.
No, we don't want to spoil that.
That should be the title next season. It comes along with a theory I'm going to present later. Ooh. Anyway, anything else we want to say on Death of Daleks? We all enjoyed it immensely.
Day.
And
Day.
Oh. I know, I did on purpose.
Sure you
sure.
did.
Yeah, just
I'm sad, Perch. We didn't have more Dalek stories.
Yeah, this is his first.
So. He had this one, and then
Frontier
if we counted
that, and Planet.
Planet of the Daleks. Planet Power.
Power of the Daleks.
Yeah, it's two P's. And then Death. So yeah. He only had the three.
So I've seen
ish
four
ish
three and a half.
Three and a quarter.
Three in one episode.
Three and a quarter.
I've seen three-fourths of the Pertwee Daleks.
Yeah, three and a sixth.
Three and a sixth.
What? The Daleks were really in the...
Pertwee had three and one sixth episode.
I'm not counting the one.
You're not? Well, then you had three.
There's only three? I thought there were four.
There's four if you count Frontier.
I wasn't...
Day, Planet, and Death.
Oh, you threw in Power there and it screwed me up.
Power is a... Patrick
Robb. Okay.
No, never mind. I've listened to, but never seen.
So I've seen all the Pertwee.
You've seen all the Pertwees. You've seen all the Baker. You've seen all the.
He's seen all the Daleks.
He's seen with the exception of the ones
that are not available and the part of. Dalek Master.
The Chase and.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting about the Chase.
The Space Museum and the Chase. That's kind of the one that's left for you.
Yeah. That we can actually see all of. And now you've seen. Asylum of the Daleks.
Yes.
Shall we move on?
Yes. Let's first, before we get to Asylum...
We're not going to take it to Asylum.
What?
We're not.
No, I said...
I've just made the executive decision we're not going to talk about it this week.
Too bad.
Well, we're doing
the rest of us are going to.
We're
going to
do our lead-up.
Glenn's going to keep recording.
I haven't watched it yet. I'm kidding.
Pond Life.
Which is our lead-up.
We discussed episode one last week. So let's start...
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, because we showed it to you right before, and you want to watch it twice.
That's right.
We talked about how awesome it was that we had this whole lead up, and then all of a sudden it was there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that was good.
Well, let's go on to two real quick.
The second one, I don't think I was impressed with.
You came at work. You said, "Now that was more of a prequel."
It was more of a prequel.
Yeah,
but it wasn't as fun as the first one.
I like two better than one.
Or he busts into the bedroom
and he's all like, the world's going to end. You have no idea what I'm talking about.
He's just coming to the wrong time.
Helmick regulator again.
And then the clips
of the prequel, but I didn't think it was as fun. It was more self-contained.
There's not much to say about two.
No,
I mean it was fun. It was
two is Honestly, of the five parts, two's my favorite.
Really?
I loved two. Yeah. I've watched it. I love the reaction when he's sneaking back out the door. Don't worry about the future. Sleep well. Just like, yeah, right.
And they're both like
wide awake as the TARDIS fades away in the distance. You know,
Third one was when they get the Ood Butler, right?
That's the Ood on the Loo.
That's Ood.
That's all it was. That was even shorter than the first one.
That's right. Rory's reactions were
fantastic. Ood on the Loo.
That's what I was saying. I felt almost cheated because we'd gotten so much
that
in two.
That was my favorite. That was totally my favorite.
We got so much in two with the clips of the stuff and then one and all the stuff. And then this one was nothing but the joke.
Yeah.
It was all set up for the joke, Ood on the Loo.
Which,
and I laughed.
Both of you ruined for me.
We did?
Both of you tweeted out Ood on the Loo.
Oh, I didn't realize you hadn't seen it.
And before
I
had gotten a chance to watch it, so I knew it was coming.
Oops.
But that's all right.
I spoiled the prequel.
I kind of figured it was, just from the first shot from Rory's reaction in the bathroom, you could tell it's an Ood. Ah, it's pretty obvious.
No.
Maybe that's because I knew. I don't know.
And then Keith tweeted his picture.
We had Sean and Mel and Blake came over last night to watch Asylum of the Daleks, and we were discussing, and we rewatched all the Pond Life because they had the omnibus.
Yeah, I hadn't seen four or five yet at that time, so it was like.
And Blake
who was
like,
posting them on the website.
I posted the first three, he posted four to five.
Yeah.
Because I was working.
He was busy with
True Grit. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I watched them as soon as I got home both nights.
I was tired.
Well, I got to work the first night because I did two jobs that day.
But they all leave, and Blake was like, "You have that knitted Ood, right? It should go on the Loo." And then I was like, yeah, we've got two. I got Nephew and the knitted one, and just pulled them out because I was going to put them up on the shelves anyway. And we go in the bathroom later that night, and there's an Ood on the Loo. So I was like, oh, I got to take a picture of tweet that.
He showed me. Got to go in the bathroom. Got to go in the bathroom. I was like, okay. And I went in the bathroom. I'm like, there's an Ood on the Loo! And then I was like, how come you didn't tweet this? Because I did. Oh. Okay.
Now, four was the butler, right?
Four was the
going around
butler.
Doing all the different things.
Which, that's my second favorite episode.
Oh, that one was so much fun.
He's like,
he thinks he's our butler.
Just what they're going through the normal life of the Ponds, and the Ood is getting them ready for, you know, here's your briefcase.
Making
here's
sausages.
This. And then he goes to Rory, here's your plastic lunch pail.
Which, and what's on the lunch pail? Roman centurions.
Right.
Keep pointing out, oh, look, he's got Romans on. Like, I'm just laughing at the fact that Rory has a plastic lunchbox. That is, you know, so awesome,
yep.
And yet Rory. So, you know, do that. You know, he's out there washing the windows. And it's like,
I feel so guilty.
I got to side with
just
Phil.
Just eat your breakfast.
I want an Ood.
And then it gets serious.
Wow, did it get serious.
Oh, five was so... So much darker than all
five,
the others.
Five. I thought you were saying at the end of four.
No, all four was funny. But then five, it gets so serious and so dark with the doctor. Well, it was pretty humorous until the doctor shows up at the door and there's
right.
no one there.
And just right. everything about the way that played out. He's standing there, it's raining, he's got an umbrella. I personally felt they missed an opportunity because it should have been the really bright... multicolored Colin Baker umbrella.
Yes, that would have been very cool.
That, to me, would have been like...
Nice little nod.
Just a black umbrella, and he's standing there in the rain, and the umbrella even looked like it's seen better days.
Yeah, it really did.
Yes, I thought so, too.
Umbrella. And he's just kind of a forlorn figure, because he keeps pressing the doorbell, and there's nobody
He's not used to,
you know,
having to wait on people.
And then his voiceover. Well, you're probably away, which is fine, you know.
He sounds like such a lost puppy.
He does.
In that.
He didn't know what to do with it.
And then intercut with the big fight and Rory storming off.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really did a good job of setting up going into the episode.
I would agree.
It was really nice. I maybe it's because it's new and I'm still hyped on it. I almost think I prefer these to the Night and the Doctor stories.
I like seeing them first instead of on DVD later.
Yeah. Well, that's nice, too.
I would agree.
But just to have that in between, you know.
Filling a little bit of the gap.
Well, it's fine that these other ones are set in between episodes, but they're happening at the same time as the season. Whereas if you did something like this, yeah, personally, here's what I want now on. I want, hey, we're going to make you wait 8 months for Doctor Who. Okay, at the 4 month mark, I want a week of little snippets that I can be excited about and have that to get me over that hump. And then wait another 4 months.
Instead of the week before,
yeah. Because, I mean, this has been overload. There's been so much after such a drought. I mean, these have been the wilderness months. There's been much nothing. And all of a sudden it's like, Doctor Who's on every day this week!
You didn't want me that close to the microphone when I did that.
Oh, and Chrissy and just sent in feedback.
Did she really?
Well, let's just
get out of here.
Take a break and read that real quick.
All right, we should.
Okay.
We really should. Because really, the next is going to be the prequel. And then
in fairness, our listeners know that we generally record Sunday nights about 11-ish.
Right,
so they're all coming
in.
We're starting early tonight.
She's saying to send them off quickly. So.
All right. Chrissy writes, Dear Vortex Boys, I'm glad you clarified that you were pulling Leviticus 9:14 out of nowhere when you were talking about Keith and Sarah's wedding vows, because... I don't think anyone has ever used Leviticus 9:14 ceremony. Ever. Certainly not in reference to the bride. And if anyone out there has, shame on you.
Okay, now I'm going to have to go look up this article or this scripture.
Now we got to look up Leviticus 9:14, Chrissy. Thanks. Keep good on that.
Where's your Bible?
Where's your Bible?
Where's your Google?
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, they don't put the Bible online.
Where's your Bible?
I don't know. According to one senator, Bill Nye caused Isaac.
I've read that report.
What are we saying it was? Awesome Leviticus what?
Leviticus 9:14.
He washed the inner parts and the legs and burned them.
Are you serious?
Wait. He washed the inner parts of the legs and burned them on top of the burnt offering on the water.
Altar.
And then that's the new international version, circa 1984. Circa 2007, then he washed the internal organs and the legs and burned them on the altar along with the rest of the burnt offering.
All right, don't go down and read all the translations.
I'm not. Those are, just to clarify, because the first one sounded slightly sexual. I don't think Sean's going to get to finish the feedback.
That was good.
Wow. We at Traveling the Vortex would like to apologize for Leviticus 9:14.
It's funny that Chrissy's the one that ran off and checked in her fact checking.
Or she knew off the top of her head one of the two.
Was. Yeah. Oh, God. You're killing me, Chrissy. That being said... That must be a fire and brimstone reverend if he's bringing up Leviticus at the wedding.
You didn't see the sacrificial lamb?
Yeah, I missed that one. Did we eat lamb?
Sacrificial chicken wrapped in bacon?
But no corn. There was a drought.
But no corn. That was a drought. Did we talk about that at all?
That's the greatest line ever. We're sitting there eating, and everything's awesome.
Because there was green bean casserole.
There's green beans, and Glenn goes, these are really good green beans. I'm like, yeah, they are really good green beans. Or I said, he said, whatever. And Keith goes, yeah, it would have been corn, but there's a drought. I was like, what? Who did the catering? Hy-Vee.
Wow.
They don't have a can of corn somewhere in the store. You sounded like such an old person.
It was a drought that year. If it hadn't been for,
we would have had corn at our wedding, but there was a drought.
The drought of '05.
What? There was a drought.
Yeah.
They pride themselves on fresh corn.
I did like the chicken wrapped with meat, stuffed with meat. That was good.
And cheese.
Was there cheese in there? There was a lot of meat.
It was meat stuffed with meat wrapped in meat.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was meat wrapped
with
meat,
a little bit of cheese inside.
Yeah.
Some of them were only cheese.
What was it? It was bacon wrapped chicken with
The one
pepperonis.
Glenn had was pepperoni and cheese. There was three cheese, and then there was ham and cheese.
I had both ham and cheese and pepperoni.
I didn't get pepperoni. I just had ham and cheese. So I had chicken wrapped around ham.
It was
and bacon wrapped around the chicken.
Meat wrapped in meat.
Meat.
It was all awesome. So good.
It was better than a turducken.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, way better than a turducken. Turducken is just That's an unnatural.
All right, we're tangenting. Keith's got to go to work.
I feel a little bit better now, time-wise, so I'm allowing it.
That being said, it's good to hear the wedding turned out well. Not so
Sean, you got experience.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Cool.
I can tap that one.
If any of you are on Jurassic Park on your iPad, you can look me up.
I'm going to tap it. No, I'm not. You can do it.
Good to hear the wedding turned out well. Not so good that Keith's mom wound up in the hospital and missed the ceremony. I was quite ticked off at that doctor, and I wasn't even there.
Thank you for everyone for their support.
I'm glad we affect people that way. The Chrissy and Dr. Phil and all these, you know, extended family are all railing at their radios and iPads and devices listening to us going, what? I think that's fun.
I'm glad you fixed up by saying iPads and devices.
Radio.
We're not able to radio right now.
Radio.
It could be piped,
as you
it could be piped
the air,
through the radio.
Not over the air.
Radio.
With an RF or FM transmitter, it could be piped through.
I guess that's true.
You put a microphone in front of me, we're doing an audio something or another, it's radio. I don't care. You can put all those highfalutin computers and technological bottles in there. It's radio, baby. AM. I hope she's doing better. The pictures of the wedding looked great, although I must have missed you posting the toast because I couldn't find it on Facebook or your YouTube channel. Hint, hint.
It's on the YouTube channel.
Yeah. We'll have to have Glenn put it in the show notes.
Guess so.
Glenn, I'm happy to hear that you're reading Divergent. It's one of my favorite young adult novels and one I routinely give to kids at the library when they want The Hunger Games, and it's checked out. Let me know what you think.
So far, so good.
I've been moving, so I didn't get to watch Day of the Daleks, and you were sorely missed at Friday Night Who, Chrissy? But I did watch Asylum of the Daleks. Here are my thoughts. Well, that was unexpected, but I think I could make my review that my review of every Stephen Moffat episode ever written. But I thought Jenna Louise Coleman wasn't supposed to be in Doctor Who until Christmas. Moffat is such a freaking liar. I liked the episode, and it's all twisty-turny, mind-bendy stuff, although thankfully somewhat less than we had last year with the Impossible Astronaut. Can't decide if I'm grateful the Daleks have figured out how to convert humans to Daleks much more gracefully since Daleks in Manhattan, but I liked the concept of the nanogenes being behind it. As freaky as they were as the Empty Child two-parter, imagine being reconfigured as a Dalek. At that point, I'd be having a little chat with whoever invented the nanogenes, because they really aren't doing what they're advertised to do. Also, I've got to talk about the pawns. I'm glad we had pawn life to connect what's been going on since last season, because if I'd been dumped in the middle of a situation where Amy and Rory were having marriage troubles, I'd be really confused and feel quite cheated out of something. But I'm also glad that the show remembered that it's still Doctor Who and not Days of Our Lives, and
yes,
kept the relationship stuff at a reasonable level while still being chased by Daleks. I'm also glad that Amy and Rory got things figured out and all is well in Pondville. Well, better than it was. I mean, come on, Rory waited 2,000 years with the Pandorica, and Amy, in another timeline, but still Amy doing it, moved time and space to be with the man she loves. Maybe it's just me, and feel free to disagree, but I think it'd be hard to break up a couple with that kind of history, no matter what the circumstances are. And I'm glad it turned out not to be that they didn't love each other, but they almost loved each other too much. Kind of an interesting twist there.
I agree.
I've got more boxes to unpack, so I'll close. Well, so does Keith. He's still here. Come on.
I need a bookshelf.
So I'll close this up and let you get on with it. Chrissy. P.S. For anyone interested, Leviticus 9:14 refers to the part of the process of preparing a sacrificial lamb.
So if we'd have just waited.
Yeah.
This particular verse gets a bit graphic. That's just plowed straight ahead with that one.
No, I can't wait to see Dave's video to figure out which verse I was actually referring to.
It might have been Ephesians. I don't remember.
I don't even remember what Old Testament
or I'll see that one next week.
What's the one for Pulp Fiction?
Ezekiel 25:17, which does not in
exist.
Any way. Well, no, it exists, but no, it doesn't in any way, shape, or form resemble what's in Pulp Fiction.
I'm pretty sure I looked it up, and
it doesn't exist in its form.
But I thought that even chapter and verse didn't
the chapter
exist.
And verse exist, but it's like a two line bit. That whole speech is made up.
Next is the prequel, which for those who haven't seen it, as we talked about earlier, was an iTunes season pass and an Amazon season pass. But what it is pretty much the doctor's message of why he need of hey, you need to go to Skaro, and the bait that is being set by some hooded figure and a psychic message. There's really not that much more to talk about it. I mean, what would you guys think?
It was cool.
It was neat. I wish I had seen it before the episode. That was the other problem is we didn't realize it until tonight when we got here. So
well, and it was exclusive to who? iTunes
and Amazon Prime.
iTunes.
You just said that. Weren't you paying attention? I will try to find.
I'm going
to
hit you with a stick.
I will try to find a link on YouTube to see if I can link to it so that other people can see it if they haven't had a chance. I liked it.
It was neat, but. There's one thing I wouldn't have liked ahead of time, was
knowing that we were going to end up on Skaro.
Yes,
yeah, I would agree.
That was such a good reveal in the episode that I wouldn't want that ruined in the prequel.
Not to mention that the prequel sets it up in the sense that say the name, you recognize where we're going already. In the beginning of Asylum of the Daleks, it's almost like he doesn't really quite know he's at Skaro yet, you know, until he says, you know, Skaro of all places. Yeah, it wasn't necessary, but it was kind of cool. I did like it was neat. It was neat, though.
I kind of got the impression, even though I knew it wasn't, that it was a headless monk.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I first watched it.
It
was like, oh,
like
headless monk.
And then the headless monk talking.
Just a messenger, I guess. So.
Well, and the woman in the beginning of Asylum is wearing the same exact cloak. Yes. So.
Absolutely.
Well, let's move on. Anything else about the prequel?
No, I want to talk about Asylum.
Let's do it.
All right, read the synopsis.
Oh, I don't have a synopsis.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have one. I can put one up.
No,
put one out there.
No, Asylum of the Daleks. It speaks for itself.
Right? I'm going to go out
dun,
now.
Dun, dun!
Wow, you really?
I really liked it.
This may be my favorite Dalek story ever. And I've always held Dalek.
That doesn't surprise me.
I've always held Dalek very high up there, and this squeaked. I mean, Dalek was the top of my list.
This squeaked past Dalek.
This week,
you like this better than Victory of the Daleks?
Yes.
You like this better than Evolution of the Daleks?
Yeah.
What about Daleks in Manhattan?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, but just a tiny bit. What did you like so much about it, Keith?
Oh, it was. What's not to like about this story? I mean, we start out with the Daleks asking for the Doctor's help. And then
that's 10 minutes in.
That's
starting out.
Well, okay, yeah, not starting out, but we're starting with the shot of the giant Dalek. Moss covered.
Which was cool.
Yeah. And then the reveal of the Daleks in disguise.
Daleks in disguise.
Which, okay, I brought this up to Sean. He didn't agree.
Exterminate!
In Genocide Machine, specifically, the talking, deceptive Dalek in disguise, is this kind of what you imagined?
No.
Less than Roboman?
No.
Because maybe not so much the stock coming out of the head, or the gun coming out of the hand, but Sean said he thought of more of Roboman.
I thought of Roboman when we were
but she didn't have that big contraption.
I thought Roboman, but this wasn't totally what I was unexpected was the fact that the stock comes out, little gun comes out.
Yeah,
it was one of those wow, they have figured out how to basically cross. Human and Dalek into some sort of machine, which I thought was just impressive. That was my first thought.
Or it was wearing an Edgar suit.
When it's a trap, and he realizes it's a trap, I thought, okay, this is Servant 12 or whatever, you know, because we've had Roboman, we've had Ogrons, we've had...
It's a slave of the Dalek.
Yeah, exactly. We've had Pigmen, we've had, you know, that kind of thing. We've always had Slaves of the Dalek, so this was just one more Slave of the Dalek.
That's a good title, too.
What Slaves of the Dalek? Slaves
I thought of Predator the of the Daleks would have been
a good. What's even better is the fact that it's like this no half converted Dalek. Yeah, you don't even have to. I mean, you don't have to have Robo-Man. You don't have to have slave pigs. You don't have to have Ogrons. Now you've got something that's essentially Dalek, and I liked that. That was very cool.
Which, and for me, the one in Genocide Machine, maybe not so much as far as the eye stalk coming out of the forehead and the gun coming out of the hand, but this is kind of the same idea is what I took away from Genocide Machine. As for the human Dalek servants in that one. That's the McCoy one, right?
How come I don't remember that? Genocide Which
one?
Machine.
That's the McCoy one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember human Dalek servants.
Well, wasn't that the one?
That was the library.
I know what you're talking about now. He's talking about the replica ace who...
You said
Genocide Machine. I went to the Fifth Doctor one on the planet with
great. Hadn't thought about the ice
not,
talks.
Not the ice talk,
I wouldn't have thought that was there, but
this
yeah.
is the next step,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
from
yeah.
that.
There you go. I like that. That works for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
So
very good. I forgot about that.
That's the first thing I thought of were the replica ace and the replicas when I saw this. Aside from the ice stocks, obviously.
Big Finish? Canon.
Good job, Big Finish. I think you learned something to the new series.
And then we go on to Rory and Amy, and I knew that the divorce stuff was coming, but I wasn't fully expecting. I thought they were more on the verge than more on the finalization.
As opposed to, sign this.
Yeah.
But which, then, you know, those of us taken. That those of us that have been there, who hasn't recognized that whole moment? I need you to sign this, you know? It's, wow. It was a rough moment.
And then they both get captured and taken up to the ship. And I love the subtlety of the window. That's one of my favorite parts of this story, is that window scene. And the subtlety of the fact that it's the grill of a Dalek is the window. Yeah. That's so cool.
I thought that. I noticed that too.
That is
really
so
cool.
Well thought out. And it's the and that's the thing about the story. It's the little touches that make this so wonderful for me. And the different portrayal of the Daleks. The different approach. Just like why Dalek was so high on my list is it's a different approach to a Dalek story.
Sure.
And that's why I love this so much.
Well, this is certainly the first televised episode that I can think of where the Daleks so much needed the help of the Doctor. In the past, in Big Finish audio, we've kind of gotten this sort of needing help. In Death to the Daleks, they form the short-term alliance in which they turn around and turn on him, which
as soon as they
turn
get their own guns,
too,
yeah.
As soon as they put the...
as soon as the force field's down, if he doesn't get out of there, it's going to destroy the planet.
I don't think they would have waited on him.
Oh, no, they wouldn't have. Not at all. In fact, they said as much. We're going to destroy the planet as soon as the force field's down.
And then he was going to head back up there to a ship full of Daleks. And
they're just going to exterminate as he pointed out to Rory.
Don't wait for me. You're only going up there to be exterminated. And Rory. Oh.
Rory was so wonderful in this. He was so good.
He was great. Although, what's up with his hair?
I'm okay with it.
He looks like obsessing about
his hair.
He looks
like he came right out of the 1950s.
I like that.
He always looked like he came right out of the 1950s.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Rory looks like Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
No, yes.
He even has the vest.
Yes, he's got some greaser look to him. It's bizarre.
I like it better than his natural hairstyle.
It's weird.
Of the raggedy mop top.
I like that. I don't like the emo look. Yeah.
Even according
to Sean, he thinks you to have the emo look.
I used to. I don't anymore. I cut my hair.
Get a job, hippie.
My hair is short. As the wedding pictures can attest, I can pull off Tennant now.
Yeah, you need longer hair for Tennant.
Yeah, a little bit. Well,
you have to style it differently.
Yeah. I just have to style it differently. Oh, the stuff on the parliaments of the Daleks was fantastic. I thought it was great.
That was my least favorite, is it looked too CGI. It looked too rubber stamp, copycat.
And it wasn't just red new paradigm Daleks that we had. We had white and we had blue.
Yeah, well, did you notice? If you look at the design, it's like it's been slightly altered. It's still the paradigm Daleks.
It's still the bigger.
Right, with the same kind of venting underneath the head.
And the little
However,
bump.
If you look really close, they don't have the weird hunchback on them anymore. Did you notice that?
I just noticed the gut.
They've got kind of a slimmer design to them as well.
It's like I like
just
the look
a bigger
of them.
Version.
I'm fine with them.
I wonder if that was we're going to sort of fix, you know, what some people of the didn't complaints
like.
We had.
Well, I wonder if that was maybe directly related to like Barnaby Edwards complaining about they're too big to move.
Well that could be. Yeah. Although you notice they didn't move much.
They still didn't move much in this.
Which, and Sean mentioned this during viewing, and I could have sworn, because I went back and rewatched it later that night, because that's how much I liked the story. And who's back? It sounds like he almost calls him Dalek Khan.
He didn't.
He didn't? When he whispered? So he whispers something.
I didn't hear it. That was one of my questions. Okay. Every Dalek ever, and there's Khan. Dalek Khan survived the explosion of the Crucible. Was that where we were at last when we saw him? And the reality bomb and all that nonsense?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. But he's the Prime Minister now. He's been elected.
Or promoted. Or however they
decide
that.
He's still crazy and creepy. But they never said it was Dalek Khan.
They never,
so is it really almost, Dalek Khan or not?
There's an interchange.
I got the impression that it probably wasn't. It was just a Dalek that you could see into the casing.
Well, he didn't have a movable casing, it looked like to me. It was just like a tube he was sitting in.
Yeah, but the bottom of that tube, there's like this glass, I don't know, aquarium type thing that he's in, like cylinder. Yeah. But at the bottom, it's like kind of a platform. It's kind of a Davros thing where it's just the bottom half with the bumps. And then the top actually has sort of this top on it that looks kind of like a Dalek lid, but it doesn't have a nice
top. I didn't pay that much attention to it.
There's one or two quick long shots of it where you can see what it is, and then standing, of course, next to it is this Dalek Supreme looking thing. And,
the white Dalek.
Right, exactly.
It looks like a Dalek incubation tank. It didn't have an eye stock or guns.
Right, but it still has the
Dalek
design to it.
There was just an exchange between him and the Emperor, Prime Minister, sorry.
I didn't see the Emperor Dalek.
That I thought he said.
Every Dalek ever. I think you lied. I didn't see him.
I think that was an exaggeration.
You hardly see the special weapons Dalek.
And it doesn't get to do anything.
No, it
just sits there.
Sat there
and there are hardly any old series. I spotted one in the explosion on the run back, and that was it.
And I totally agree with Phil's comment how if those are all the Daleks that the Doctor has met...
Then they should have actually been
old school Daleks because they were so beat up and dusty and everything. That looks terrible. Nobody would have done that.
Yeah,
some
of them were missing their guns and their plungers.
All of them were missing their guns.
Yes,
some of them were even missing the plungers.
Let's be clear. We're being very, very, very fan nitpicky at this point because I think all of us enjoy
the story. This is the only thing I have to complain about.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back to a level of wow, this was really incredible. We'll
get back to the wow in a minute. But for right now, we are going to be very, very incredibly nitpicky on you promised us every Dalek ever, and we don't feel like we got it. There's a limited number of classic era Daleks still available to BBC. Are you telling me you couldn't have put out a call to fans or collectors or the Dalek Builders Club and said, bring us your Daleks. We need every design, every style.
It didn't have to be an authentic Dalek that was used in shooting.
Yeah, I mean,
as long as it looked like one.
And we're going to distress them. We're going to cover them with fake cobwebs and dirt. Okay.
Yeah. You're going to put my Dalek on Doctor Who?
Okay.
I'm just hoping that I missed something and somebody will have screen caps and say, hey, here's this one. Because we saw a lot of... publicity pictures where they were taking pictures with actual old Daleks.
I think most of them were in the chamber with Rory at the beginning when he falls down and I think when he's walking through there, they must have been in the background where special weapons Dalek was.
Yeah.
I think that's where most of the old school ones were, was that one hallway, and they're the ones that blew up.
They're the ones. Yeah. Those are the ones that should have been intensive care.
In my opinion, those should have been.
That totally went a whole different route.
We didn't think that was going to be based on that premium explosion.
I really thought all of those Daleks in the
Parliament
were going to be dead and destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we were walking through. No, just
a hallway.
Just a hallway.
Just a handful, 10 maybe.
And it wasn't Amy.
10, 15 Yeah.
And it wasn't Amy.
And it wasn't Amy. And she wasn't dead. Or not dead, but injured. Seriously injured. She was just unconscious because she's getting in.
She's turning into
nano things.
And, Dalek in disguise.
Yeah.
I have one
other. Daleks in disguise. Sorry, we have to do that.
We have to do that. I have another complaint. I understand the let's change the logo and do something fun.
Oh,
for
yes, the opening sequence.
I love the opening sequence. I'm sorry.
I did not.
I wasn't a big fan of it. Unfortunately, I'm hoping what I read was true.
Well, it seems
each opening sequence will have its own special open, and I love that. If the next one looks exactly like this, I won't like this as much. But I love the fact that it had a different look. It had different
I'm fine with the stone
and the
fonts and that stuff.
I thought it was all great.
I'm fine with that if that stays the same.
It all looked great. Looked very movie
opening. If it's just a title sequence.
It looked very movie opening.
I liked the Matt Smith, the new font for the names and the kind of fading into smoke as the new one came up. I thought that was cool.
We still have the DW TARDIS.
I didn't mind.
I don't know if I like the Dalek bumps.
I didn't mind the Dalek bumps on Asylum of the Daleks.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Dalek bumps on the Doctor Who. And I didn't... The Doctor Who logo when it came up and then
totally
the TARDIS revolving, they changed it.
They better be reptilian next episode.
Well,
good job, Stephen Moffat. Don't listen to these guys. It was incredible. I loved it. It was so different.
It took me a minute to get used to it when the new one came up. When they first debuted the DW TARDIS, I wasn't sure I was going to like it. That's my favorite logo. It's so... spot on what Doctor Who needs.
Listeners, ignore them right now because that was one of the best parts of this episode.
The jury's still out on it. I just don't know. I'll wait and see what the next one is.
Ignore them
and see what it looks like.
Sorry,
I do like that. The new fonts and everything still turned into the DW logo and then into the TARDIS again at the end of it. I like that they didn't.
See, that almost felt rushed. Though,
they didn't get rid of
Keith, Matt Smith leaving the show.
Whatever.
Yeah, he quit, didn't you?
All right. What else? What else was good about this? Everything else.
Jenna
was
Louise
good
Coleman.
About this. Yes. What a surprise!
So the first time I see her,
I'm like, huh? Wait, what? All right. Wow. Clara makes an appearance early, and then they never call her Clara.
No.
And I was like, what?
Oswin Oswald.
What? And then. Even at the end, when she says, "Remember me," and looks at the camera, and I was like, "Oh, how cool is that? They're going to tie this back."
Which, okay, let's...
We spent the first 15 minutes of the episode after she made her appearance going,
"Is that her?
Is that her?" It sure looks like
And Blake's like, "If that's her, I like the new companion."
It sure looks like her. How that couldn't be her.
Surely
that's not her.
Good. She did a fantastic job.
Oh, she was amazing.
Oh,
one of my favorite parts of this entire story.
Yeah. The interplay between her and everybody.
Amy, Rory.
I'm going to call you Nina. Yeah. Just, she was amazing. But then we kept trying to justify it going, well, maybe she's not playing Clara. Maybe it's like you remember how Martha showed up and wasn't Martha, and Amy has shown up and wasn't Amy, so maybe it's just they cast her in this and then thought, you'd make a really good companion, we should bring you back and you know, do this.
Colin showed up and wasn't
Yeah.
But then...
or the Doctor.
And so did
But then it's
Lala.
Oswin. And isn't it Clara Oswin or Oswald? Isn't that the new companion's name?
I don't know, is it?
That's what's
You read
been,
the article.
That's what I just saw Clara.
Is it Oswin or Oswald?
It's Oswin.
Clara Oswin.
Yeah,
and she's a computer programmer.
That's the speculation. So, yeah.
Oh, is the Doctor going to co-intercede before
she crashes?
Which is weird because she doesn't recognize him. He doesn't recognize her. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be really fun.
So I'm
excited to see
my
what they
theory
do
after this.
I love the look. Look at the camera, and it wasn't a breaking the fourth wall.
No,
it was just on the verge of she turns to the side and looks at the viewer and says, "Remember me." I think that's what you
so
said.
So here's my theory,
so cool.
based off of whatever rumors there supposedly was, because I'm throwing any of that out the window because she's already shown up. So whatever we presupposed of and what Moffat has said about her, I don't believe anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that her name's Clara. I believe her name's Oswin. That's what we've been shown. I believe what's going to happen is the Doctor goes back.
She's Clara.
No, they never said her name Clara.
They never once said Clara.
No.
No, but she'll be Clara.
I never saw the BBC come out and say that.
Okay, go ahead.
So
Moffitt said it recently, so
I didn't see that either. I just saw an article from a somewhat reputable newspaper.
Yeah, but I like somebody, your rationale. If I haven't seen it, it doesn't exist.
But somebody qualified that. Somebody with the BBC qualified it.
Regardless.
Right, well, either way.
Moffitt also said every Dalek ever, and we didn't see that.
Well, yeah, Moffitt lies.
So, I don't believe, until it airs, any forethought and speculation, I'm not giving any credence to.
Really?
So here's my thought.
What are you doing?
I just happened to catch, in the prequel, I thought it was weird when the monk said it, or the messenger said it. He said that the woman, Darla von Carlson, is in need of your help. She has a daughter, needs help, blah, 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 whatever. And I thought, that's a weird name, Darla von Carlson. Yeah, Darla, it's Carlson with a K. D-A-R-L-A-K.
D-A-R-L-A-K? Yeah.
Darlak, that's how I spell it.
Okay, going back to my
I'm
thought.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's a Darlak, right?
The theory I'm operating under is that, okay, the doctor goes back and stops her from even boarding the Alaska. And maybe she is what causes the Alaska to crash on the asylum to begin with. Therefore, none of that happens except for those who already experienced it. And that's very time folding back on itself, like Moffat likes to do. So Amy and Rory are still together, although technically probably not, because one of them will probably be dead. Because they're gone at that point, obviously. But so he goes back and saves them, and that eliminates the Daleks forgetting the doctor. They still remember him because they didn't have to go get the doctor to destroy the asylum, because a spaceship never crashed, jeopardizing it to begin with. And then so he goes, stops her from boarding the Alaska. She doesn't cause it to crash, and then they go off on their adventures. Kind of a I just blanked on the companion's name. Eighth Doctor, Charlie Pollard, kind of a saving her from death type thing. That's what I envision.
Okay.
You realize that you are already, God, I love fandom. You're already speculating about the future companion.
Oh, she was
of
so
Doctor
good.
Who. Instead of talking about the awesomeness of this episode.
I know.
Because I'm going to talk about my speculation of something from last season that I think was revealed in this season. But go ahead. We'll talk about the awesomeness of this episode.
Let's talk about the awesomeness of this. We have
she is so awesome in the story.
I love the fact that he uses the one Dalek, and he's like searching around, and the Dalek says, you can't, and you know, he pulls up the case, and he's like sonicking it, and the Dalek says, you can't shut down the self-destruct sequence. He says, I'm not trying to shut it down. I'm looking for reverse. And then the Dalek goes flying backwards into the room. Boom, blows up. That was so awesome!
Everything, except for that opening credit sequence that was kind of dodgy, but everything else.
Where'd you get the milk? I thought that was so great.
When he brought that up,
the fact that they tied it in so
quite
well.
Frankly, when he brought that up, where are you getting the milk? I keyed into the fact that she's not who she thinks she is, or not is not. She might be a dream, or I even sort of thought she might be a program, a self-aware program. And so I didn't realize she was going to end up being a Dalek. But I thought she was a self-aware program that we were just seeing the physical manifestation of how she believes she... Because
well,
when
to
he
some,
said,
to some extent,
where are you getting the milk? That was my first clue was, oh.
See, the
she's
first,
not actually
she was
where
still
she
doing that to some
is.
Extent, though, because she was transmitting her old voice instead of her Dalek voice. Because
well, sure,
they kept
her
calling
head.
Her.
No.
To them, because they kept
to
calling
them.
Her
yeah.
her.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
They wouldn't know Oswin... from a female or male name.
Right.
It the genius of that is the first time, the genius of that is Matt Smith. This one I can totally give to him. The rest of this is genius because of Stephen Moffat. But the first one, part of that, when he says, she bakes soufflés, where is she getting the milk? And it's a throwaway. It is a complete...
Soufflés against the Daleks.
It's a complete, utter...
Because he's scoffing at
that
it.
That was
and
the first place I caught it. I went, yeah, where
no,
is she getting
it? It was just, it's one of those things that, like, well, of course the doctor would cue into that.
and then you drop it and you move on because it's an idiotic comment. It's one of those random brain droppings that oozes out of him every so often that you're just conditioned to ignore.
Yeah.
But then he says it again.
And then Rory's response, no, we weren't. Again. Which, that's when I was like, oh, this is going to be important.
No, see, I didn't. Because that's when I followed Rory. You're
so
right.
I got it the first time. You got it the second time. Sean's still oblivious.
Still oblivious. Not until he walked into the room and went and asked her and Blake and you and everybody in the room kind of went, oh, she's going to be a dog with the view screen and the inside of her room looks like that. And, oh,
which
wow.
I saw a screen cap. Comparing this chair she's sitting in through most of the episode.
Yeah.
Did you see that? And the Jenny chair in the spaceship she took off in. Set reuse.
Yeah, I saw that.
I don't attribute any significance to that other than recycling a chair.
There's a lot of people speculating that Jenny's
That's all I attribute it to.
Jenny.
I thought that.
I've seen enough Star Trek recycling of props because you go, hey, look, that robot, that's the cloaking device.
Right, exactly.
Which then there's enough of that even on
Doctor
Who.
It's like the trash cans in Invasion of Time, and then they are reused
in the
Doctor's wife. Yeah, it's...
Yeah, don't buy
it. I don't buy into it. I just thought it was cool.
Don't buy into the speculation. But yes, prop reuse. In fact, that's what I said when I saw that picture and everybody was going, hey, could this be a tie-in? I said, no, it's the prop department going, hey, we can use that chair again.
Oh, we'll recognize that chair.
I'm not surprised that the doctor gets Rory and Amy back together by the end of it. I mean, I kind of saw that coming.
I love
the genius of that scene.
Fixing his tie. And Amy's totally got him completely, like, there's the one scene where she's talking about every little thing that he does, how he's working through a situation. And she's got him so pegged.
Yeah.
Like, every little movie, and this is where he does this,
and
this is where he does this.
And how often does a companion get to know the doctor that well?
And that was really neat. It was a good example of how well Amy knows the doctor and knows exactly what he's going to do. And then to later surprise her because he says he's going to fix the marriage. And she says, there's three of those things that I don't, that aren't plausible or that aren't going to happen.
Three
lost causes. That's what she says. And then the fact that when they realize that he has done just that, fix their marriage, and they show the shot of him straightening his tie. I love that because she makes the allusion to, it's not like
you can't fix it like you
straighten your tie. And then he fixes it and he's straightening his tie in that shot.
Love the reasonings why the two broke up. I was so worried because I had seen a spoiler and
that
speculation.
It could have been unrealistic and it was so realistic.
I thought it was going to be a... You're too obsessed about the doctor. You want to be with the doctor too much.
Yeah,
I can't handle this other man.
That as well.
And it wasn't at all.
I'm worried about that.
And
as well.
The fact that Rory called her out on I've always loved you more than you've loved me. But then she turns around and says, "No, not at all. Yeah. I let you go." Was so well done
because
and so
she
well
have
thought
kids.
Out.
That was
now. So that seems to me that it's been a really long time.
That moment, when they were
I did a little
that
bit.
Yeah.
It was just disinterior. Yeah.
Even just the signing of the marriage license bit, I got a little teary.
The divorce degree.
This
goes beyond that level of cool and well done, because all of a sudden, everything that we said throughout season 6. We've gone on record over and over and over about how the paradigm has shifted and how much we like Rory more than Amy. And Amy started off cool, but now we're kind of tired of her, and she's whiny, she's this. And we get to episodes like The Girl Who Waited.
Where Amy shines,
but yet it's...
So does Rory.
it's still that kind of self-centered, because we've said it before. Rory waited for you for 2,000 years. Those are awesome. Where'd you get that?
It's called eye stock. It's
so
awesome.
I mean, Rory waited for you for 2,000 years, and you were upset over that. That's a horrible picture. You need to do with that. But she's all, because it's all about her. She's just grumpy. And then this episode comes out and explains it.
ever since Demon's Run.
Yeah.
When she realizes that she can no longer have children, it's a different Amy.
See, I never got the impression that she realized it during that. I got the impression that it was after they dropped her, the doctor dropped them off, and however long it's been since they've been home and married, they've discovered that she couldn't have kids.
I think after the traumatic experience of Demon's Run, it was probably the first thing they did. Is she went home and got checked out by the doctor.
Oh, that could be.
I'm hoping. Maybe not. Maybe you're right.
But they went home.
Well, I would have to agree.
It crystallizes and explains all of the second half of the season and why she's a little off.
Obviously, whatever they did to her was traumatic, and that's why she's off.
Yeah.
I don't think it's because she knew. But whatever they did was so traumatic, it affected her.
I mean, it just all of a sudden crystallized the, wow, I've been dogging on Amy, and maybe that's not fair because we didn't know this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was that level of realization going on. And, man, I got mad at Moffat all over again. Because it's like, how come you're so good at this? You shouldn't make me, you know. And maybe he didn't. Maybe he's listening to this going, you think I'm that good? Yeah. Yeah, I do.
We do.
In
Moffat we trust.
So
but he'll do good, not tell us the truth.
You know, the Parliament of the Daleks, we've got the spaceship crash. And I heard the hype.
Oh, and
we're going to make Daleks scary again.
The zombie Dalek is in the skies. That was creepy.
Those were the creepiest Daleks
in this. All of the everything down the planet.
In the asylum was
when,
very
when
creepy.
They were in the. That was just it. When they're in the Parliament, it's like, yeah, this is kind of intimidating, but. We've seen the Dalek. We've seen him face down a room full of Daleks before.
It's going to be over in a second.
And he's having this conversation, and it's all casual, and you're thinking, yeah, this is the typical doctor, how he deals with the Daleks now.
Until the Save Us chant starts.
Yeah.
And then when he's sent down to the planet, and there's just, they really did. That was Moffat going, I'm going to make the Daleks creepy again.
Which
we're going to use
them.
Brilliant
job.
And having them all
have
just
have we ever seen the bumps off them before?
The what?
The bumps. The Dalek bumps.
Oh, the balls? No.
We've seen cracked
the
and
eggs?
Broken.
Oh, are these your eggs?
Yes. I didn't think they were full.
Oh, is this what you're looking for?
I thought they were just half spheres.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were full spheres. That's kind of cool.
They were back when they were gluing them on.
Well, yes. Yeah. But, and they probably still are glued on to most of them, just the ones they don't need them.
Right. Dalek.
Yes.
When it activates its own specialized self-destruct, the balls...
Well, that's right.
Oh,
I do
yeah, that's right.
That.
Okay,
yeah,
I forgot about that.
That's right.
Never mind then.
Yep, I forgot about it as well. No, you just reminded me of that.
Although that's a very different self-destruct.
That was the first time that we'd seen that, though. So.
Yeah.
Then never mind. I was giving this some credit. But
yeah, no, sorry.
Another fantastic episode gets the credit instead. I'm fine with that.
I feel Oswin... aside from her being fantastic and a great, you know, aside from everything that could come to pass.
And her
outstanding character.
Yeah.
Unbelievably just the bits of her, she's cooking souffles and she's boarding up
the
door.
She's such a good match for the doctor.
She's captivating. She grabs your attention every time she's on the screen, whether she's talking or not. Just
honestly,
even her making the audio diary about what was going on, journal what was happening.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Honestly,
just,
you guys know how much I love Amy.
She really does have as much chemistry as Matt Smith does.
Yeah.
I can see them
totally
paired up.
I kept wanting to go back to Oswin more than dealing with Amy and Rory in the
story.
And I love Amy and Rory.
And I agree, because I was captivated by her too. But I also think, and this is one of the things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks when we've gotten into Who, is a fantastic guest star character comes in and everybody loves this person and we feel like the companion kind of gets shuffled to the side. Not the case here.
No.
And
no,
I think that shows the level of Moffat's writing.
I still wanted to go back to Oswin, but then when we were with Amy and Rory, I was still in that
still
moment.
Still very powerful.
Yeah.
And they would capture your attention as well.
Let's talk real quickly about the forget of the Daleks.
Okay.
The forgetfulness of the Daleks.
This to me ties directly back to what Dorian says at the end of, or Head of Dorian, says at the end of... last series, the fall of the 11th, the question that's so in plain sight.
So could the fall not so much be a regeneration, but the entire galaxy forgetting him?
No, I think the fall of the 11th is going to be his death. And this is my prediction. It's going to be brought on by the Daleks when the question is answered, Doctor Who. Right now, Oswin has now erased the Predator from their memories. All of them. Every Dalek now, their hive mind, has forgotten about the Doctor. I think we're going to see a return of the Daleks. I think we're going to see the Dalek's question be answered. Doctor Who? Oh, that Dalek. Doctor. The Predator. And that's when the fall of the 11th will come. I think the Daleks are going to make a return, and that is going to be the 11th Doctor's demise. And that'll be when the regeneration happens.
In the 50th anniversary.
I'm not saying it's happening in the 50th. I'm not going to go that far. Matt Smith has not said that he's leaving the show. I agree. I think Stephen Moffat is going to play those cards very close to his chest to when he's going to use this. I really think that is foreshadowing as to what's going to happen in the demise of the 11th.
I agree with you 100% because I think it's an interesting play that the sixth season, where we get the question, silence will fall when the question is asked, and we're dealing with the silence, which are this race, which deals with forget.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And now the Daleks have forgotten.
Here's the other
thing. But
remember,
the silence aren't a race.
It's a religious order. Now, here's the thing. The Doctor is hiding. He's presumed dead by the silence. So the silence...
This is going to lend a lot to his...
That's exactly right. The silence are on their fall now. Because there is no reason for the silence to exist as long as the Doctor's dead. And what does this do? This solidifies it. Because if anybody ever comes across the Daleks and says, you know...
Who's your greatest enemy?
The Doctor, well, who are you talking about? Yeah. We don't even know what you're talking about. So he's been erased, eradicated from his greatest enemy's memory banks. So this hides him even more.
So you're completely fine with this?
Absolutely. I think this is going great.
I know Sean's on the fence on it.
I'm on the fence on it. I am 100% excited for the potential, for the things yet to come.
Yes.
I am a little nervous about the idea of rebooting the Daleks, which in essence is what we've done.
Which we tried to do in Victory.
We have taken away... How many episodes recently, even classic series, has the Doctor been able to walk into a room and scare the Daleks with his reputation? You know who I am. And they back up a little bit because they recognize this. That carries a lot of weight and a lot of gravitas with it that he doesn't have anymore.
Which I think makes the Daleks a better adversary.
Sean,
now.
Well,
I'm
but
hoping.
Listen,
I'm
this
hoping.
Works.
But that's, that,
if,
that leads
listen,
into the potential of
here's
what's
the thing. If that's the case, if we have just rebooted the Daleks so that they become not so afraid of the Doctor.
Not so wimpy.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. It's a nice trick. My point is that when we see the Daleks return, the memory is going to be returned to them, is what I'm saying.
No, I agree at that point.
So, to me, it's not a reboot.
But we don't...
You don't have, because I don't think we're going to see the Daleks again unless they revisit it on that point.
I don't think they could.
You could bring them back.
I don't think so either.
I don't think it's going to happen. So that's why I don't have a problem with it. Yes, if it's a clever way to reboot the Daleks, yeah, it's clever. I don't know if I like it. On the flip side of that, I don't think that's what's happened. I think we've erased the memory banks for now.
That's why I'm still on the fence. I'm really excited over the potential of what is to come. Yep. But until that comes, I'm a little guarded. I don't know if it's a complete reboot and we don't get that moment,
I don't know how I feel about that. I would agree with that. But
so
no,
that's where my
work comes
from.
I am 80% sure I'm right. I was right on Riverside. I'm going with this one as well.
Which, and how interesting, the two times 11th Doctor has encountered Daleks, either they truly don't remember now, or they were pretending not to remember.
Yeah, that's true. In Victory, they were pretending not to remember the Doctor.
We could wax on about this episode forever.
The silence, I think, will continue to fall throughout this season.
I think that's the other thing, despite the
Doctor will cleverly be forgotten by everybody.
Despite the...
Hopefully not the, obviously.
There is no arc.
Subtly.
I think there is. I think Doctor Who is the arc.
Exactly.
I think friend of the show, Simon Fisher Becker, set that up for us. That's where we're going
This
now.
Whole season is the question. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. We're not waiting on this. That's what it is.
I think it'll be more like five.
I have a feeling when we get to Unit. When we get to Unit, I have a feeling we're going to have some sort of eradication of the Doctor from that. timeline as
well. Oh, what if...
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. Ooh. Yeah. Anyway.
Real briefly.
Keith's got to leave in 10 minutes.
Keith's got to leave in 10 minutes. Real briefly. The cinematic nature.
Felt very cinematic.
Shot so well.
Especially
Nick
Horan, because
the director,
new,
did a fantastic
especially
job.
Especially because of the new title sequence.
That had nothing to,
that
do,
had
with
nothing
the
to do with the cinematic.
It did. It felt very much like a movie. That's where it first felt to me.
No,
like,
it, no.
It,
it,
like
every, that every, initial shot of going up the dock
felt like
a movie.
Well, yes, but
the
but you
Rory
get the
running down the hallway and sliding under the door felt like a movie.
Credit sequence, and then
it all felt like a movie.
Opening Doctor sequence.
Who's always given us a pre-credit sequence,
yeah,
in the new
but
series.
But this one really, really felt very cinematic.
I didn't have anything to do with the opening credits.
Everything right up to the opening credits was yeah, very cinematic.
All of it was cinematic. It wasn't because of the credits.
Cemented that with me.
Okay, it might have cemented it, but it, I don't agree.
Opening credits were awesome, Stephen.
Glenn,
what a great
Glenn, you're
idea.
Wrong. I can't get over how big this felt. We'd been told
and
that.
And it's still only 40-some minutes.
Yeah. 47
minutes.
I really worried that you're going to completely hype this out. Oh, we're going to go for this big cinematic movie feel every week. And it was like... okay, cool. I'm on board for that. But how does that work with Doctor Who? They made it work.
You know, and something that struck me a week or two ago, and I meant to bring it up, is have you look at the titles of each of these episodes.
They're very flashy, like you promised.
Asylum of the Daleks. That feels like a movie title. Asylum of the Insane. Asylum of the, you know,
it feels
that's
like
just
a
very,
it feels like a Hammer
Roger
horror
Corman
film.
No, that's very Roger Corman. Asylum of the Daleks.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs on a spaceship. That's
snakes
very
on
snakes on a plane.
Yeah.
The Power of Three.
A Town Called Mercy.
A Town Called Mercy. That's very
like a
spaghetti
title.
Western.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The Angels Take Manhattan.
What's the Sergio?
Leon.
Leon. Very Sergio Leone, that name.
And then we channel the Muppets.
Then we channel the Muppets. Oh, no,
the
no, no, no.
Take
Angels
Manhattan.
Take Manhattan is a lot like Jason Takes Manhattan. Or,
I would rather compare
yeah,
to Muppets Take Manhattan.
I'd
rather compare
sure.
Muppets Take
but,
Manhattan to Jason Takes Manhattan.
The Daleks Take
but
Manhattan.
But Jason Takes Manhattan. I mean, it's a very epic feel. It's a very movie title.
Oh, yeah.
Which
all of them really
theoretically
are flashy.
If we go with that. We know the theme, obviously, of these. You know, we know that A Town Called Mercy is a Western. We know that this, but if you go with the title really, really, really reflecting that, that tells me that Dinosaurs on a Spaceship is going to be tongue-in-cheek, a little goofy.
No, absolutely.
Considering his reaction to
absolutely.
Dinosaurs being on
it
a spaceship.
It tells me that A Town Called Mercy is going to be a fairly
gritty
standard,
Western.
Gritty Western.
Yeah.
It tells me the Power
Spaghetti
of Three...
Western. It was even shot in Spain, for crying out loud.
The Power of... Well, that would be Italy, but...
Italy, that's what I meant, not Spain.
No, it was shot in Spain.
It was shot in Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It was Spaghetti Western.
But you're close.
So it was Italy. Yeah, close.
So, but then The Power of Three to me sounds almost like a suspense thriller. And these cubes, and where are they coming from? Okay. And then The Angels Take Manhattan, if we're doing a Jason rip... Yeah,
gritty horror.
It's going to be a horror film. I mean, not that the Angels weren't scary before.
Right,
they're
right.
Scary now. So, yeah, I definitely
it's
think just, that's
it,
in
it,
there.
It's all playing into that very, we're going to do this very cinematic.
Final,
in fact, I think
final
that's why they
encapsulated
changed,
thoughts?
I think that's why they changed Cubed to a power, The Power of Three.
I think so, too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, it's Cube. That's a horror film.
Cube, excuse me. Yeah, that is a horror film. Yeah.
Cubed.
See, but I don't think you need to use that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Final encapsulated thoughts?
Fantastic episode. Great way to kick off the series. I hope we're all the way to the end of this, to the break. I hope we hit the ground running. I hope the momentum stays.
I think we're going
to
keep knocking it out of the park.
Did you get enough of a break from Daleks? I mean, I know you and I like Daleks, so we were jazzed. We were like,
that's what I want to ask, because I set that question up 2 weeks ago. Is this really going to be a big enough break? Is this going to be...
I think if it weren't for the podcast, it would have been.
Does this have
as
to...
As a casual viewer, yes, that's enough of a break.
Did the Daleks coming back serve the break that we got?
I think so.
I hope so.
Especially considering how good the story is.
I think so. Now, again, I was one of the very few people that were saying, I didn't need a break from the Daleks. I like the Daleks.
This is doing the Daleks at their best.
This is Steve Moffat set out to make them scary, and he, in my mind, accomplished that not with the Parliament, but with
the Asylum.
The setup at the beginning in the Parliament when they say, the Asylum, do you know of it just by reputation? It's... We send all the cast-offs, insane ones. And just kind of the idea of a planet full of insane Daleks. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I agree. I think this was a, I think this was a home run. It was definitely a season premiere to remember.
Knocked it out of the park.
Epic and many, 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 many more adjectives to come.
It tugged at the heartstrings. It had the great action. It had the funny. I mean, it had
you hiding
element.
Behind your couch.
It had every element
your
that it
apartment
needed.
Sucks.
Hey,
you can't hide behind the sofa.
You can't right up against the breakfast bar. You cannot hide behind the sofa and watch Doctor Who.
You can just hide underneath the breakfast bar
that's
behind
not the
sofa.
Same.
That's even more protection. No, you haven't. You can come by.
Anyway, all right. Well, what's coming up next week?
Next week, Friday Night Who, more Pertwee, Invasion, not Planet, Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
And according to my Amazon.com tracking with UPS, it will be here Tuesday.
Oh, good. wait, no. I own that one.
No, you don't.
Did you buy that one? You did.
You did not. You do not
I
own
do not
Invasion.
Own. I do not
you
own
better invasion. Not own Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
I don't own Invasion or Planet.
You better know oh, you not own, in, own Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Okay, that's yours. You're right.
Okay, because that was one. I was tasked with two.
You're right.
I was tasked
you're right.
with buying Day of the Daleks.
I'm back in school. Things are fuzzy.
And Planet, or not Planet. Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Did you go to Amazon looking for Planet of the Dinosaurs?
No, I did not. I never looked for Planet. He's the one that kept putting Planet in there.
So we've got Invasion.
I was supposed to be looking for Planet? Maybe
Invasion of the Dinosaurs for Friday Night Who, followed by next Matt Smith episode, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
Yay!
So that's our show for next week.
We're excited. All right, we're going to wrap it up.
I got to go to work.
He's got to go to work. So... that's going to do it for this week. Until next week, I'm Glenn.
I'm Sean.
I'm Keith.
Cheers.
Good night, everyone.
Be seeing you.
In disguise.
You have been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.